Stefan Christoph, thanks for tuning in. This is edition 211. On the broadcast today, I am going to be sharing a conversation that I had with a musician and cultural organizer in Sao Paulo, Brazil. I spoke with Jan of Seloki Records, which is a small-scale, community-based record label in Sao Paulo. There's a number of interesting things to mention about this project. I think one of them is that this label is from the ground up, thinking about cultural spaces in the Brazilian context, and particularly in Sao Paulo. What I learned in speaking to quite a few independent musicians is that historically, a lot of cultural spaces, even on a smaller scale, were often quite restrictive and open mostly to people from upper classes. And there was this gap of finding spaces to do experimental music for people from many different backgrounds. This changed in the 2000s, particularly around the Workers' Party government that is, of course, at the time, as it is now, led by Lula da Silva. And thinking about how state policy at a big level translates down at a grassroots level. Now, of course, a project like this, Seloki Records, is, you know, totally independent and autonomous. It's not getting state support. But it reflected, as I understand from these conversations, and I'm sure there's complexities to this, but it reflected at a grassroots level this shift in countercultural spaces to be less restrictive. And what's happening now, and what I learned being in Sao Paulo, is that there's a lot of small cultural spaces opening up, venues, independent spaces that are really just done in people's homes or small studios or garages, and a bunch of small record labels that have opened, you know, that are featuring music like experimental music, punk, and often political music, music that is both created by people that have experienced, you know, social, political, gender-based marginalization, but also talk about social issues in their music, maybe not always in a direct way, but are coming from that context of more critical thinking. So there's many, many voices existing in this sort of intersection of, you know, independent culture and art. And one example is Seloki Records. So I spoke with Jan about the project, how it came together, and also the context for it and thinking about independent culture today in Sao Paulo, Brazil. So here's our conversation that we recorded for Free City Radio. So we're sitting in Sao Paulo and we're talking about independent music projects here in the city, and particularly efforts to release independent artists on cassette and also share DIY shows, so independent shows here in the city. And you know, often when people think about Brazilian music, I think they at least often think about the past, not the present.
Yes, yes.
And maybe try to like put things into a historical box. But that's not life now. And you're here now doing independent music and you have a label and we're at your studio. So it'd be cool to talk about all that. Maybe you can first just start by introducing yourself and sharing a little bit about your label and what you do.
So thank you very much for this. My name is Ian Dardeni. I have 30 years old. I'm from São Paulo. And I started this with my brother, Otto. We started a band together in like 2015. And when we started our band, we came to see how difficult it was to find places to play, find places, like, how can I say this? Everything was like phase one on Guitar Hero, you know, rats coming from the sewers and stuff like that. But even though we persisted, and we could release our first records. And all of this brought us some kind of experience, and we have like a vibe of reuniting people, of people always would come to our house to play or to play music or to play video games when we were kids, and now they come to play music with us. And then at first we did everything at a basement in our parents' house. And then when our parents left this house, we went to another house here at Lapa in São Paulo. The place was called Studio Fiaca. And in there, we set a studio up, but we didn't have many clients so we could like afford our rent or our bills. So we started doing shows like almost every week, once a week, with local bands and independent bands. And we could sell like beer so we could pay our rent. Basically, that's how it all began. And then many of the shows that we saw there, some of them started to raise this question for us, because we really connected with these people that were playing this kind of music, and we felt that their way of doing music and living it resonated with our way of doing music. So all this experience that we had with our previous band, we wanted to share with these new bands coming. So after like 2 years on this studio, surviving in this way, we created the label. Not created, but officialized it. So it was on the pandemics that we do this, because it was when we had time to stop and think about what we were doing. And then Seloki Records was officially born.
Before we continue, okay. Just for people who are listening, repeat the name of your record label and also explain to us the meaning of the name. Okay.
Seloki Records. In Portuguese, label translate is like selo. And Loki is like a slang for crazy. So we kind of mixed these two words, like Seloki, crazy label, something like it. It's not so like this, but
there's no exact translation.
Yeah, no, there's no exact translation. We actually made up a word, so and a world.
So about that, like you talked about independent bands coming to your studio. So, you know, before we were recording, just for people to understand a bit of the context, right? Yes. We're talking a lot about younger artists, but also artists who are doing more experimental music and incorporating a lot of different sounds. I hear in some of the music that you've released the influence of like what people understand is Brazilian music, like coming from the Tropicália context, but there's a lot of influence of a lot of different styles. And also I would imagine a lot of the kids that are in these bands are concerned about different issues that affect them, whether it's like LGBTQ identity,
yes.
Concerned about environmental issues. I mean, you had this context of Bolsonaro, which was wild.
It was around this time.
And so there's a lot of also, when people gathered, I'm sure also there was a lot of discussion about what can musicians do in this context.
Yes, I think it resonates with many movements of music that we had in history all over the world. I think Tropicália is a good example because it's from here. But I don't think Tropicália should be understood as a style of music, but as an approach to music. The approach of mixing a music that is from our roots here in Brazil, folk music from Brazil, from all of Brazil. Brazil is giant, ginormous. We have many artists and many kind of music that even I, even me that live here, I don't know all of kind of music that's here. So, yes, these bands were kind of trying to express themselves in this kind of new way, recreating some of the stuff that we have as influences from the 60s, from the 50s, but with an approach of pop music that all of them have. Everybody wants to have people in their gigs, right? They don't want to play for no one. So there's like this kind of pop approach, but bringing all of this Brazilian identity, you know, they don't want to, all of these bands, they don't want to sound like American bands or want to sound like British bands. They want to sound like Brazilian bands, even if Brazilian rock bands or Brazilian indie bands or Brazilian experimental bands or Brazilian MPB bands. They want to sound like Brazilian music. They don't want to sound like everybody else. I think this is something that Tropicália was much about. Their approach was about it, about many research in Brazilian music, Brazilian folk music with pop, but from the 60s and 70s. Today this approach is still alive, still is alive. So
I see. And so in launching this project, the label, can you describe a little bit more about like the importance of having this independent space to release music? You know, in a way, maybe in this type of context, people might think, oh, okay, well, let's wait for the perfect moment. There'll be like an American label that will release this band, or there'll be a breakthrough in this sort of fairy tale way. But from what I know of your work, it seems that you basically just you're trying things and, you know, sort of improvising, being open to experimenting. And also when you're doing that in Sao Paulo, it's not always smooth, I guess.
Yes, it's never smooth. O jogo nunca tá ganho. That means that the game is never over. It's like from football, this. We can't come in here and just wait that somebody is going to discover us. So this is why we are putting all these people together under one label. And of course, we really want that everybody from our label to succeed in however they want to. We really want them to it. So it's not like they are attached to us in a way that, oh no, you are with us forever. No, we are just doing giving all of these artists a hand, so we can help them in any way they need. There are artists that need help in this kind of recording production part. There are artists that need help with the design part. There are artists that need help with with booking shows. There are artists that need help with printing tapes. There are artists that need help to organize themselves. There are artists that need some place to rehearse. This is why we have this place, so they can use this to improve their shows, improve their performance. We are like doing everything we can to help them, yeah, and that way we learn a lot as well.
Cool.
This is the best part.
What do you mean?
We learn a lot from all of these artists. They learned. They teach us many things, musically, but also when they talk about their background, when they many things. These are artists from that are like they may be 10 years younger than me, but they teach me many things that I didn't. No, because I wasn't born in the same world as them. Mm-hmm. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you're describing a spirit of openness,
yes.
which is cool. Respect to that. So people listening to this, if you're going to describe a little bit, like, today in 2023, 2024, the Sao Paulo independent scene, like, what are some things that you're excited about in terms of the way that music's happening in the city today?
I really like that today the tech, more people can record their own stuff. This is one thing that I really like about technology, that people can record their stuff and get into it and express themselves. This is something that I really like about, and São Paulo is the place that many people from all over Brazil and Latin America come so they can, like, succeed and can live from it. Like, it's not on an easy way. Everybody has to work a lot here. São Paulo is a city that has this history of work, a working city. And so I really like that everybody is still coming for here, and this may, like, it's a big pot of influences and people that make our music, like, unique. This is the thing that I really like about it.
Respect. So when we think about some of the challenges that young experimental musicians are facing today, I mentioned before things like the rights of LGBTQ communities, or you know, people who were protesting the Bolsonaro government, the extreme right-wing government of Bolsonaro, that was voted out but had a huge impact on Brazilian society. Can you talk about, it could be those issues or other things, can you talk about some social issues that you and your musician friends that you're talking about that are important to you, that are part of your conversations?
We all want to be recognized. We want to art to be recognized of work, recognized as work. We want music to be recognized like work. Here in Brazil, we have this, like, heritage from the dictatorship that we had on the 60s and 70s. Bolsonaro is also a reflection of that. And it was a time that many people were killed or sent away from Brazil, like Caetano Veloso, Gilberto Gil. They all were sent out of Brazil because their music was considered, their work, subversive. Yes. And this left a big scar here, because in the common sense, musicians and artists are taught as to be, like, people who, we say here, vagabundos, people who don't work, people who just want to chill. But we know that we work really, really hard to make all of this happen. So I think this is the kind of issue that's more urgent to us. Everybody wants to live from music. Everybody wants to live from and for it, need to do other kinds of work, because as musicians or working with it, you don't receive as much, not only money, but like, knowledge for your work. So you want everybody to accept you as an artist.
I
think this is an issue that we all share here. I think that would make things better if music and art was considered to be work and not something, not like hobbies, you know. Most people doing their jobs think this is a hobby.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because it brings up this idea of, like, the space of thinking of yourself as a worker, as being a space from which you can demand dignity, as opposed to, you know, sort of something that you're just doing on the side.
Yes.
But I mean, that reflects into a larger social context for Brazil of work yes. being respected or not. I mean, there was a huge, on many, many different types of work, that's a huge debate in the country.
Yes, Brazil is a country that struggles with it. I really can only talk about what I do and the challenges I face in my work, so I can pay rent every month, and I know I'm not the only one who struggles to it. And in some way, this is what makes us like improvise so much and try many different things. We have to keep going, and to keep going, we have to try many different things. So I think this is Brazil. Brazil is about one of the things about our people is like improvisation. It's like it's like dribbling skills, right?
And football.
Yes, because maybe we don't get the best conditions for many things here, but that's it. We are not gonna hide. No, we're gonna face it and try it every way we can. So we have to improvise.
Nice. So I think, you know, we'll play a piece of music from the compilation that you shared. But before we get to that, I know that you've made an effort to share this new music from Brazil with people in different countries. Can you just talk a little bit about your own motivation and like what you're trying to build here in Brazil as an independent artist, and talk a little bit about how this has been a priority for you? I mean, some people, I really like this distinction you made between hobby and work. Yes. I think it's very important. And so maybe you could dig into that a little bit and talk about sort of the dignity like of asserting the value of independent culture.
Yeah. From my personal experience, what I can say is that when I left school, I went to study chemical engineering in a yes, on a federal university. So, and everybody was really proud of me. Oh, congratulations, you made it into a big university. So congratulations, you're going to have a future, right? But when I was there, I had 18 years old. So I didn't know much about things, about life. I never had really left São Paulo since until then. But as I was like, as the years of the university were passing, I was getting like no interest at all in chemical engineering. My interest, my time I spent with music in there. I didn't care about the subjects that we had there. After 4 years, I decided to come back to São Paulo and start to and study like musical production. Mm. And when I did that, it was like, oh man, really? Are you crazy? Man, he must have had smoked lots of weed. He must have taken LSD. He's crazy now. He's leaving his this opportunity behind. Oh my God, he's crazy now. Just so you know and understand what means here in Brazil when you are engineer or you are a medic or you are like an architect, all these professions have their respect and their dignity. But when I choose to do music, I heard from many people that I was crazy. So with my work, I really would like to bring dignity to all the musicians that to everybody who, oh, so you want to be a musician, so you want to be an artist, okay, really good, fine, go there and do your best, just like they say when somebody is going to do to be an engineer, so it's just, and is anybody is going to be a doctor or anything. And this is why I in some way I took these tapes to Europe in this last tour, because I wanted to people outside of Brazil to know that there are many good artists and really good music coming from here. We every week new are in shows, really good shows, there are really good artists here. So if I don't take a tape to them, how are they gonna know? Here in Brazil, when things are accepted on outside, when people from outside of Brazil say that our music is good, so everybody here starts to think that the music made here is good. So we have this kind of problem, like mm-hmm. here. So we search for acceptance not inside of Brazil. We search for acceptance outside of Brazil. Wow. So just for people to recognize the work that we are doing here.
But it's a process, a long process, and you've put so much time and love into building this independent cultural space in the city. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, yeah. Stefan. Right. It was a pleasure.
Respect.
That was a conversation with Jan from Sloki Records, which is a small independent record label in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Thank you so much, Jan, for being on the program today. I will share a link to Sloki Records in the show description, which you will be able to find on our archives, which are at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. Free City Radio airs weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal at 11 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CGLO 1690 a.m., also in Geogeauge, Montreal, on Wednesdays at 8:30 a.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg at 10:30 p.m. on Tuesdays, on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario, at 11:30 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria, BC, on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and Saturdays at 7 a.m., on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto at 5:30 a.m. on Fridays, and on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. We are also a podcast. Look us up. We are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will speak to you next week.
Files
Radio.
Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.
Good morning. You're listening to F-Files Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm in today with an episode that has an interview I did with a friend of mine who's involved with the encampment that is currently taking place on McGill campus. The encampment was erected this past Saturday, April 27th. And is still going today on Wednesday, May 1st. This interview was taken on Monday. And we're at the sides of the encampment. The interview itself is kind of chopped up and screwed. And there's a moment where we're passing the mic between each other. And then another moment where I set the mic down, but we're still talking. And I decided to include both parts of the interview in this episode because I think it really gives a sense of what it's like to be on the encampment right now. I'll be playing tracks from audio captured at the encampment of students who've been gathered, students and community members who've been gathered around.